Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms, you are listening to Youth Station, brought to you by RRB English Radio. There are many other opening alternatives to this, but no, that's not my job. Anyway, today I have the honor of being joined by my brother in faith and humanity, Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sir. What makes a role model, really?
What makes a role model is what he stands for.
What do you mean?
Why do we love the Justice League?
Why do we love the Justice League? You know, see, the thing about the Justice League is that, or the Avengers, or all these superheroes that we have, is that they have been, to a great extent, I personally feel, pushed. They've been pushed down our throats, Sayyid. You can't argue with that.
They are being pushed under the notion that they stand for something that me and you relate to, which is...
They stand for being cool.
No, beside that. That's what I'm trying to get. First is what they stand for, which is to save humanity, to save life, to create justice on earth, to create better life for people, to save people. That's what they do. That's the core value that they stand for. They get pushed into me and you by giving them the extra values.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. See, here's the thing about the Justice League. When I think about it, not just the Justice League, that's it's this whole superhero concept that the West is so, well, not actually the West. We have it in almost every culture. They are so keen on having people celebrate. Is that, you know, like the likes of Justice League, sure, when there's an alien invasion of planet Earth, you see them practicing their superpowers and kicking tush and, you know, creating so much more carnage through this process.
Yeah, yeah,
like totally raising New York City to the ground. But like when there's a mother and her child starving in the back alleys of Brooklyn or the Bronx because, you know, she can't keep up with rent, where's the justice in that? You know, it's the Justice League is not at all...
I'm not saying they are...
A logical...
Exactly. I agree with you 100%.
It is so accepted and celebrated because Hollywood especially has done such a great job at pushing it down consumers' throats.
Exactly. I'm saying it's... Now, what I'm trying to say is that even Hollywood or any other media outlet, when they want to present something to you, regardless of what's actually happening in the actual world, mm-hmm. is they try to give you a core value that you could relate to, right? Now, when it's human invasion, yes, true. Okay, you know, our problem are the aliens, and we don't care. Even if thousands of people get killed in the process, we don't care as long as we get to save Earth. So, yes, yeah, so that's a value. So what makes them heroes and what makes role models is what they believe in, right? And we could relate to that to some extent. Obviously, and me and you, because we understand this concept, so we don't go towards that 100%. As for us, when we want to take a role model in, is we have to look at what they believe in and what they stand for is what makes them role model. And then when I use the Avengers or the Justice League, they are just example. But across out every culture, they would have a character or characters what they could relate to them, and they are their role models. Why? Because they stood for a core principle or a value. And then, you know, people start to look at that person and try to celebrate his life. And, you know, some of these characters turn into religions. They turn into gods, like Confucianism or like Buddhism. They turn into gods because of their core values. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and specifically Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, because he's a role model for the youth, first, we have to see what Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam stood for. What is his core value in life that I and you could relate to? And then we look at his actions. What did he do as a human being, as a person in his life that I can do as well? And with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the prophets, the beauty about them, they don't have anything attached to them in the sense that segregate them from the rest of the world. Oh, he's just my imam. He's only for the Shia, he's only for the Muslim. No one could relate to him.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
What makes a role model a role model is what he stands for. But when we look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, if I take him as an example, the justice of Ali alayhi salam was applied to everyone during his time when he was the Khalifa of his time. Whether you're a Christian or you're a Jew, you're old or young, everyone got their right equally. When Talha and Zubair came to him, one wanted Basra and one wanted Kufa as to be governor. She said to him, based on what? Mm. Or those who said, I want extra money because I am Qurayshi, how could you equalize me to a Persian? I mean, I said, last time I checked, everybody was from earth, yeah, and Adam was from dust. Mm-hmm. So why should I? So the justice here was applied to every human being. When people come to the Ahlul Bayt, they come to them as mutual characters to the entire earth. Any human being would relate to them. Anyone that comes in contact with them, they will get something from them. Even, you know, they have been blessed to have the languages of all languages that mankind deal with. So the Imam would speak, a person comes to Imam Sadiq from Persia, he wanted to speak with the Imam in Arabic. The Imam preceded him by speaking with him in Persian. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, tell him, like, I know
cool,
what you're saying.
Man.
Yeah, so,
like,
you know, you don't have to trouble yourself. Mm-hmm. So they could relate to everyone. So their character, sometimes we have characters, when you look at them, they are limited to a space and time. You can't take them out. He can't give them to the entire world to deal with. So, for example, for those who take Mussolini as a role model, which a lot of people do, so in the Soviet Union, for example, and all Italy and all these countries, they would take bloodbaths as role models, or those who take Hitler as a role model in Germany. I can't use Hitler as a role model to a time and space, and what he did was bad. With Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, and especially Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, for the youth, if I tell the story of Ali al-Akbar to anyone, mm-hmm, Muslim or non-Muslim, they will get moved by it.
They'll celebrate him as a value.
Exactly. They will see that these values are not something limited to a Muslim. So when we see
Imam, and they're not relative.
Exactly. So I always say this. For example, when you look at Karbala, we say it's a university, right? It truly is. In terms of racism, did Imam al-Hussein differentiate between his black fighters and his
brothers?
No, actually, on the contrary, he comes to the slave, he puts his cheek on his cheek, mm-hmm, and he would recite something. He goes to his Ali al-Akbar and he would do the exact same thing. Mm. So he did not differentiate. So racism did not exist. Racism is something that me and you are suffering with today in the 21st century, and we're still having that racism problem. Mm. So in any way I look at the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam specifically, because we are celebrating his birthday and he's a role model to youth. Any human being, any youth, if they put the effort into looking into his life, they would gain and come up with something that they could use in their own life.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can listen to us at parstoday.com/en.
another question that I have, Sidna, is that, well, you know, the thing about Ali al-Akbar is that the highlight, really, the climax of his achievements was in Karbala, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like a narrow field for us to explore, you know? It's literally just a battlefield. And I'm wondering whether there are things that he did or said during the Battle of Karbala that we can take as life lessons, or are there things, events that took place prior to Karbala throughout the course of Ali al-Akbar's life that we can, you know, connect with and sort of apply into our own lives?
Well, any person or any human being, at the end of the day, when the end or their life comes to end, is that we see that they live to the core values that they adhere to during their life? Or was it the end different? A lot of people, they have a moral code when they do things in life, but once, you know, as they get close to their death, they change and they deviate and they do things opposite to the things that they were preaching themselves. Mm-hmm. With Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, when he ended his life, what did he end it with? Did he stood up to the values that he lived by all his life or not? And we can see that in Karbala, Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, he presented himself in a way where it's simple if we look at it, even though it was a very short battle mm-hmm. and ended very quickly. But Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam stood for many things. Amongst the things that we can relate to today, he stood against oppression and against slavery and against people, their minds being overtaken and people being brainwashed. And all these things that Yazid and his army were trying to push into people, which is something that we live today. We're under the subconsciously, we are under the control of the media or under Hollywood or those who are oppressors or governments. These were the exact same things that Yazid was doing in his time. Ali al-Akbar, in the battlefield, he stood against these things, which is, you know, we can relate to today. When he fought and gave his life, whether he said something or not, just him saying, I will not accept oppression, I will not accept anyone depriving me my free will and the free of thought and the free to live as a free person. I will not stand to that. I will fight for it until the last drop of blood I have. So that's something that Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam lived for. He fought for that cause. He fought for the freedom of mankind. It doesn't matter what the faith is. If you want, you know, like how Gandhi said, I learned from Hussein to be an oppressed and succeed.
Victorious,
he looked at him from that aspect. You know, he looked at him from an aspect that, you know, he fought oppression, not he fought Yazid, who's against his grandfather. Mm-hmm. He did not look at it as a religious thing. Rather, he looked at it as a value for humanity. Mm-hmm. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, he stood there. In terms of faith, he fought for his faith. In terms of his imamah, he fought for the imam of his time. He had to give up his life for the imam of his time, which is his father. In terms of saving, Islam, he did his part. In terms of saving the core values of humanity, be it freedom, be it justice, be it equality, be it fairness, all these things, Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam fought for. And that's why when we celebrate his birthday or his martyrdom, these are the concepts that we are celebrating in reality. Whether it's him, his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or all the brave heroes who fell in Karbala, they fought for these concepts.
Mm-hmm. So they basically fought for every single value available during their time and those that would prevail the tests of time and become universal. Of course, there's so much more to say about this. Thanks for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because of you. In weakness I am braver. My defender and my Savior, my giver and my taker. abiding in silence with patience and guidance. However, when I need you, the light, when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness and my love.